This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to the basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success, so you know something, I can really do this.
This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio of VSporto Channel. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Got a big show today talking about our instant reactions from the Florida State-South Florida win as Florida State goes on and wins that game 34-14. We're going to go first segment on the Florida State offense, and then we'll wrap it up with some talk about the defense. So let's go ahead and get started on the first segment. Well, the first thing to say is that this offensive performance was by no means a surprise. All I can say is get used to it, because this is basically what you're going to see from Florida State on offense, particularly early in the season. We talked about this in our preseason podcast. We talked about this last week. Florida State's offense is not going to look like what people have seen the last few years. It's just not the Jameis Winston era at Florida State anymore. You're going to see a lot more of what we in the preseason talked about as Alabama-type offensive football, or LSU type offensive football, because that's the team that Jimbo Fisher has. And if there's anything that there are several misconceptions that we've addressed about Jimbo Fisher on this and his offense on this program in the past. And one of the biggest ones consistently, I mean, this goes back for the couple of years that we've been doing this show, and for the longer period of time that I've been providing analysis over at Noel Digest, one of the biggest misconceptions is this idea that Jimbo Fisher is a pass happy, pitch it around the yard kind of. Some of the fans on the message boards at Noel Digest have tried to compare him in the past to a John Gruden, and he is so far from a John Gruden type offensive philosophy and even personality that it's just amazing to me that anybody would even think of that as a comparison. And again, we're going to see that in spades this year. We saw that today. We saw that with how Florida State approached the offensive side of the ball against South Florida. Fisher, first and foremost, as I've said before, first and foremost, Fisher is all about catering what he does to his talent. He's not a guy who's going to run the same offense for the same for different groups of people. That's part of why his offense has so much in it. That's part of why, as he said earlier this week, when somebody asked him yet again if Everett Golson actually had a grasp of the full offense, of a whole offense, you know, did he have 100% of the playbook yet? Fisher said, well, of course not, but, you know, there's a lot there. Yeah, well, the reason for that is because Fisher wants to have all sorts of things, all sorts of options to be able to drop in or to pull out depending on his personnel. And we're seeing right now what he thinks of his personnel here. And I think the one thing we can be sure of is that he thinks that Dalvin Cook is his best player, and by far, which I tend to think he's right about that. And certainly after watching this game, holy Dalvin, like, wow. That guy, he's pretty good at football. And the refreshing thing, again, for Florida State fans is that Jimbo Fisher recognizes that and handed him the football, had Everett Golson hand him the football 30 times in this game. Now, I don't think they can do that over the course of the whole year. I think they need to be careful with the workload. And Fisher has historically been careful with the workload. But this is, again, a game where he wanted, especially as they were not comfortable in the first half, they were not comfortable doing other things. He wanted to make sure that they got out of there having established what they wanted to do and got out of there with the win. And what did they do? They stuck with what they did well, and that's run the football with Dalvin Cook. And he made some incredible plays. And as we said before, on in the preseason, we anticipated Jimbo Fisher basically giving the football to his tailbacks. We expected about a 40-25, maybe a little bit higher run balance to pass balance. And that's again what we got in this game. We saw Florida State, the final tally was they had 46 rushing attempts and 26 pass attempts. That, of course, includes a couple of sacks That includes three sacks, so that really should be 29 passing attempts and 43 rushing attempts, by the way that the things should be calculated. But that's about the ratio that we expected, or at least that I expected. I know there was some doubt out there from those who, again, have bought into the wrong stereotype and the wrong image of what Jimbo Fisher does in terms of philosophy on the offensive side. But we saw exactly what we're going to see from Florida State in this first half and in the second half. This is who Florida State is on offense at this point. Now, it's very clear that Fisher wants to get them better, particularly in the play-action passing game. There are certain things that he's trying to goose a little bit right now to get them better, because they won't be able to just run like this against everybody on their schedule. But that's what they're going to be. That's the team that they're going to be this year. And they're going to push that. He's going to keep trying to goose certain things to get them better at certain things, but this is who they're going to be. And I know that some people were texting me during the game, and others, you know, interacting with me on Twitter and in our Noel Digest chat room, about, you know, this is boring football, or, you know, geez, you know, I know what's coming. Well, or just frustration with some of the mistakes and some of the other things on offense. Well, everybody, this is the Florida State offense in 2015. If you're used to the high-flying, super-efficient Jameis Winston offenses of the last couple of years, as we said in the preseason, this is going to be a bit of a rude awakening for you. This is the kind of offense that Florida State's going to have this year. There's no way around that. And Fisher, fortunately, I think, recognizes that that's who they need to be. They're going to be a good offensive team as long as they give the football to their best players and keep Everett Golson out of situations where he is put in position to turn it over. Which, again, the most encouraging things about the first two games, yes, South Florida and Texas State are not the best teams. You know, this is not a murderer's row schedule to open up, but Everett Golson has zero turnovers in the first two games. That's exactly what you hope for if you're Florida State. And this team could win a lot of games as long as Everett Golson doesn't turn the ball over on the year, because they'll be able to run. They will eventually be able to run the football on a lot of teams. Now, a lot to talk about in terms of some details, and there might be some objections that we should address right away. First thing, there were some objections to in the first half, saying, you know, they shouldn't have thrown the football as much as they did in the first half. I mean, how dare they drop Everett Golson back as many times as they did? Well, I went back through and I looked at the play-by-play. Here were the situations where they actually dropped him back. 3rd and 4, attempted throw to Dalvin Cook, poor throw. 3rd and 11, scramble for a 2-yard gain. 1st and 10, that was the drop by Bobo Wilson, and that was a momentum drop that really hurt, I think, the potential of the offense to do what they needed it to do in that first half. That put them, not only put them behind the sticks and for the next play, which, again, the next play was a handoff to Dalvin Cook that went 74 yards for a touchdown, and that's actually encouraging that even when they're not running it especially well, Fisher on 2nd and 10 just had him turn and give it to Dalvin Cook. But that, you know, you're going to have to throw on first down some, particularly with the quarterback that's struggling. Then on 1st and 10, with 2:56 left in the half, 2nd and 10 after a miss on that, and then finally inside 40 seconds there were two attempts as well, as they were trying to get some attempt to move the football into field goal range at the end. It's not like they went pass happy even in the first half. The difference is that aside from a 74-yard run in the first half, Dalvin Cook only averaged 4.4 yards per carry and had 3 carries for a loss in that first half, which, you know, that puts you behind the sticks, that puts you in tougher situations. You can't just keep running the football when you're getting tackled for loss. You've got to find space, you've got to do other things. So the running game was actually not really clicking in the first half. It, you know, again, the 74-yard run changes the stats a little bit. It's a little deceptive for the first half. But that first half, Florida State's offense sputtered like crazy. And as I had said coming into this game, that shouldn't have been anything but what was expected coming into this game. In our in our projection for this game, we talked about both Wayne McGahee and I and several others, I mean, from other sites and elsewhere, talked about how we expected to see the Florida State offense sputter a good bit today. This was their first time against a defense that really had the athletes to challenge them, and we saw some sputtering early on. That's exactly what we saw, particularly up front. I think the offensive line really struggled in the first half, and then they kind of got their sea legs about them in the second half, and you could see what happened. Dalvin Cook was tackled for a loss three times in the first half. As I said, he was tackled for a loss once in the second half. And that's when, you know, that's when Florida State's rushing offense really went crazy. Because again, when you're able to turn and hand the football to a guy 30 times and only have four losses, that's great. When you have four losses out of 10 carries, that's not so good. Out of 11 if you count that 74-yarder. So that's not so good. You can't do that. But 4 out of 30, you can hand the football to that guy all game if you're only getting that percentage of losses. Now, if you really want to know what changed, it wasn't so much the run-pass balance. That stayed roughly the same. If anything, they threw it more in the second half than they did in the first. What really changed was they saw how much that offensive line was struggling, particularly on reach blocks in the first half. The South Florida defensive line was quick enough and physical enough and strong enough to make it difficult to execute some of the reach blocks that you see, particularly on the outside zone play that's Florida State's bread and butter. They weren't able to have some of the success that they wanted with some of those reach blocks early in that first half. What they did in the second half, they came out and they ran a lot of power. And what power does is you down block. So instead of blocking, having all the offensive linemen step in the direction that you're going to be running the football, what happens is the strong side steps the opposite direction from what you're going to be running the football, and you pull a lineman from the other side who then has a kickout block to create some space on the interior. And it allows a bigger offensive line, which Florida State has, to mash a little bit at the point of attack and basically allows them to use the quickness and the over pursuit or the over aggressiveness of a very physical South Florida defensive line against them. And that's where you saw Dalvin Cook's second touchdown run early in the third quarter. That's where you saw the third big run that he had. It's where you saw, you know, you started to see, if you go back, and I'll break this down a little bit later in the week, but when you go back and you look at some of the most successful rushing plays they had in the second half, they were on that power concept. Or the counter tray kind of concept, really kind of the same concept, but on that basically pin and pull concept, where you're going to have some power stuff on the front side, and then a guy pulling around and kicking out on the back side, and they had a lot of success with that, and that's something I'm pretty sure they didn't want to have to do in this game. They didn't want to show a whole lot in this game, and I think that's one of the things you're going to see from Florida State this year. They're going to kind of take the Milton Berle approach, where they're only going to pull out as much as they need to here in any game. They're going to play with limited packages early in the season. They're not going to show everything that they've been repping. I can tell you that they're not. This team is not showing everything that they're repping in terms of the packages that Golson is going to be more comfortable with. We've yet to see Golson keep on the zone read game. We've yet to see some true option. We've yet to see the jet sweep stuff from Kermit Whitfield. We've yet to see the triple option with Whitfield and some of those guys coming around for the pitch. That stuff's there. And if they get into a position where they're not able to run the football, not able to establish things, then we'll start to see some of that. But there's no reason to bring any of that stuff out or show it on film until they need to. Now, they may need to this next week against Boston College. They may need to show those things against Boston College, but they were hoping not to have to do that stuff. They didn't want to have to show the package stuff that they did with Everett Golson today. The last time they showed that, they did show it a little bit with Sean McGuire in the fourth quarter of the game against Texas State. They showed some of the packages that you're going to see more of with Everett Golson this year, because that's what he's capable of doing. They showed some of those things in the in the fourth quarter with McGuire, because again, they're not showing you everything that they want to, that they don't necessarily want to have you see Golson do early in the year if you're a defensive coordinator, an opposing defensive coordinator. So we'll see some of that stuff coming in later on in the season. And we'll see some of that, more of that package stuff. We'll see more power stuff, I think, as the year goes on, because that's what this team is going to do well. But they're going to have to continue to goose some of this stuff on the passing side, and they need to get Golson comfortable. And that's the other thing, before we finish this segment, before we get into a little bit of the line play, which we'll talk about right at the end, I do want to address a little bit on the Golson side. Golson came out and he looked nervous as a cat in this game in the first half. Did not look comfortable, did not look like he was capable of not only throwing the football where he needed to. He was putting balls in the dirt, was not accurate, but he missed a couple checks in terms of run checks. It looked like they ran into the three technique a couple times when he should have checked to the other side. He missed another check where they had a play call where they didn't account for the blitz the way that they should have, and that's probably on him as well. There's at least one time where it looked like he mangled the play call in the huddle early on, so they had to call a timeout. So there were some problems. These are some of the growing pains that you have when you have a guy who's only been in the system for a few weeks, maybe a month, I guess, at this point. So, that's some of the stuff that we saw from Golson in this game. I think, again, it was right for Fisher to continue to stick with him, because you've got to ride this out, because he does offer you the most bang for your buck later on in the year. He offers the most upside for later in the year, and he did get better as the game went on. I thought how he played in the third and fourth quarters was encouraging. He didn't throw it as well as he did last week. And in many respects, this was bad Everett Golson. If last week we saw good Everett Golson, but at the same time, bad Everett Golson didn't turn the football over and did show some improvement over the course of this, this second half. So at the end of the day, there's a lot to be encouraged about on that side for Florida State. Now, the final thing that we should talk about on the offensive side is the performance of the offensive line. And the offensive line, they, again, as I said earlier, they struggled a little bit in the first half, particularly on reach blocks. And you could see that, and especially on the right side of the offensive line and at the center position. The youth there was just not quite ready to make the step up in competition that we saw this week versus Texas State. Now, they were much more comfortable once we saw more power stuff and pull and pin type stuff. But even there, the guards pulling, when R and Bell pulled, there were a few times where they were a little slow on the pull. There were certainly some times that I saw where the guards were actually telegraphing that they were going to be pulling. So you would see Bell lined up just a little bit too far back. He needs to make sure he's lined up in the proper spot so as not to give that away, because that's a tell for the future. I'm sure that the offensive staff is going to notice that this week and emphasize that in practice. Otherwise, again, Boston College will know exactly when some of those power plays are coming, and then you can stack up at the point of attack, and that's going to make a difference. So that's something that we saw. Again, these are some youth things at the offensive line on the offensive line. I do think the offensive line needs to have Kelly at that right tackle position. They need to get better at that right tackle position. Right now, Rubel has continued to struggle a little bit. He's just, I still think he's about a year away. I think he's got a tremendously high ceiling. He has a potential to be a high draft pick, but he's just not quite, he's a little light in the butt and is just not quite strong enough to anchor and not quite quick enough in certain cases to reach at this point. And I've got to think that with Kelly at the right tackle position, coming up in the future, as he gets healthy, he should be back for the Boston College game, from what I understand, that the offensive line will get a little bit better just on that end. Now, the other interesting part is going to be how quickly we see Cole Minshew get on the field, and whether or not that's at the right guard position in Wilson Bell's spot, or whether he winds up at that center spot. But I do think that the offensive line is going to get better through some personnel changes, and also, I thought that they developed, they got more comfortable in this game. They'd seen a little bit more. They grew up a little bit here. And I think there's a lot to be excited about if you look at this group moving forward for Florida State. I mean, a lot of this is actually a better defensive front. I mean, Dedrin Senat and you know, Nate Godwin and some of these others on this team, they they're basically there's some quality Florida athletes here that not every team is going to have that Florida State plays over the course of this year. So, you know, there's a lot to be comfortable with, a lot to be happy about in this offensive performance. And again, starting with the fact that Jimbo Fisher has a grasp of what his team is doing well and what they can do well, and the way that he is calling games that cater to what they do, and that this offense has a clear identity. That much is absolutely obvious. Now, the real test, and we're going to talk about this more early this week, the real test on this and the real test of this team's identity is going to be going up against Boston College on Friday, where Boston College, they're going to bring some dudes on that front, on that defensive front. They were a top five team against the run last year, and they return, I think, six of their front seven from last year. So they're going to be able to challenge Florida State at the point of attack. The question is whether or not they're going to be able to, whether the Florida State front is going to be able to grow up enough to run the football against that group. And if they do have some trouble, whether Fisher's going to be willing to stick with it, and also whether Everett Golson is going to provide enough of a passing benefit, enough of a passing boost that to provide some balance against what's going to be a very good Boston College defense next week. Now, on the other side of it, I don't think the Boston College offense is something that really scares you, although they did put up, I think, 76 points against Hampton, I think, this week. But, you know, I think that's a more of a product of who they played. I don't think Florida State's going to have to worry about them as much on offense, but in terms of Florida State's offense against their defense, I think this is the week of truth where Florida State finds out who they really are. They have an identity at this point. They kind of know who they are, but they've got to grow into it. And this week against Boston College, they're gonna have to find out. They're gonna have to see whether or not they're good enough as who they are. That's gonna be the real test. And once again, you are listening to the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, of eSporto Channel. I'm Jason Staples from NoleDigest.com. Before I go any further, I also want to remind you to download Seminole Sports Radio's free iOS app, which is the best way to listen to this show. It should be released any day now. There's been a few delays on getting that released, but keep looking for it in the App Store. It'll be back very shortly. At any rate, let's go ahead and get to our second segment here, where we're going to talk a little bit about the defense against South Florida. And there's less to talk about, in part because the defense played really, really well. The defense was significantly improved from what we've seen over the past, what we saw in 2014. I think this defense is already showing that it's a better defense than what we saw last year, despite some of the NFL talent that was lost from last year. There's still some concerns out there, absolutely. Yes, there are. But this defense, some of the concerns that I saw last week, I felt they stepped forward and made those far less concerning today. In particular, the play of the defensive line. I thought the FSU defensive line played extremely well today. Again, South Florida is not the best offense in the country, but they do have some decent athletes, and they can match up athletically by and large. And the Florida State defensive line was disruptive today. It was disruptive, and particularly you could see that they were disruptive not just with one or two guys, but with several. Josh Sweat continues to improve. I do think that, you know, he's still not healthy, not completely healthy. You can see he's not quite as explosive as what he showed on tape in high school. There's still just a little bit of a favoring of that side of that knee just yet. He's not bending the edge quite as much with as much explosiveness as what he's going to be able to do once he's a little healthier. But he's still a pretty good player. He's still pretty good, even though he's playing on really one and about three quarters legs and didn't have the chance to train his lower body as much this offseason either because of the fact that he was rehabbing. So, you know, he's going to be a very good player moving forward. I think Jacob Pugh continues to be a good all-around option on the outside. And what we saw is this is a team with Flowers and with Mack and these guys they really wanted to try to strain that edge, to do a lot of running on the edge, where Florida State has been vulnerable the last 2 years, really. They gave up some plays even in 2013 with teams that were good on the edge. That could get, you know, that could force you to have to go horizontally. And again, against Florida State, that's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to be able to run east and west against a Florida State. Well, the last couple of years, teams have been able to do that. And in this game, South Florida really struggled to do that. I mean, they held Quentin Flowers to 2.7 yards per carry. Marlon Mack, who's a very good back, held him to 4.6 and a long of 14. All told, that's pretty good. And then when you look at the performance of the defensive tackles, it looked to me like they were starting to get the makings of a pretty good four-man rotation. Whereas last year, when the backups came in, when you saw when Derek Mitchell and Eddie Goldman went to the sideline last year, and any other defensive tackle came in, you saw an immediate drop-off. So they couldn't substitute most of last year, up until toward the end of the year when Derek Nnadi started to get it. But, you know, earlier in the year, there were some massive drop-offs when that second group came on the field. That was not the case today. In fact, the guy that maybe jumped out at me the most in this game was DeMarcus Christmas. DeMarcus Christmas, at that defensive tackle position, showed some tremendous burst and some tremendous quickness off the ball and disruptiveness, getting into the backfield, getting penetration, and actually finishing some plays. He made some tackles in this game. And that should be very encouraging, because that's really your number four defensive tackle coming into the year. And he showed some of that last week too. I mean, he jumped off the tape a little bit last week, but he did not. I wasn't sure, again, based on competition last week. I wanted to wait another week to take a look. This week, I looked at that and went, wow, he's a guy you're going to want on the field a little bit. And then again, that pass rush package where they've got Giorgio Newberry, who has been a revelation so far. Who would have expected him to have the first sack of the defensive line, among the defensive line on the year? But Giorgio Newberry and DeMarcus Walker on the inside, and then Josh Sweat and Jacob Pugh on the outside in the passing situations, that defensive line was also very disruptive as a group. And there's a lot to be very pleased with there. And I thought, again, the linebackers were pretty good. There are some concerns. Again, I still think that Reggie Northrop he never was ideal in the open field as a coverage guy and going laterally. And he's still maybe just not quite 100%. You could again see that there are some places where he's maybe not as fast as he would have been before the injury. But again, both linebackers I thought played pretty well. Lorenzo Phillips continues to flash on special teams here and there, and you know, hopefully you can get him some reps later in the year. But all in all, very good. I did think that was a little bit of a ticky-tack call on LaMarcus Brutus for the ejection in the first half, but at the same time, it wound up giving some experience at that safety position, some live experience to both Trey Marshall, who I think struggled early and then started to settle in a little bit at the safety position. He's a guy I don't think you really want back there at that safety position over the course of the year. And I think you could see why Brutus is the starter there. But he got some time, and then you got some more time for Derwin James, who also had a sack in this game coming up out of a robber look. Those guys got some reps and were okay. I thought the secondary by and large was quite good today, despite not having LaMarcus Brutus. So, and again, the defense, the biggest change on defense from this year to last year is you can see the level of energy and the way that this defense swarms to the football is very different from what you saw last year. Last year, that defense just seemed to always be lacking something. They didn't have the kind of attitude that you expected out of a Florida State team. But this year's team, this year's defense, again, they've got that. They seem to be taking on the attitude of Jalen Ramsey. And of course, Ramsey's making life easier for everybody because he's shutting down that side. Now, of course, in the first two games, he's dropped two interception opportunities, and actually you could argue for three in this game. So he needs to call Ronald Darby and agree to switch their hands again. But this defense is taking on more of that kind of attitude. And again, that other corner, Marquez White, been very good in the first two games with an interception in the back of the end zone, which admittedly the receiver should have fought for and at least should have broken it up. But Marquez White has been tremendous. He's been very good. So far, there's not a whole lot to nitpick on the defensive side. Last week, I was nitpicking the performance of the interior defensive line, and that was not a problem in this one. They were very solid in this game. They anchored and held up against some power looks and against that that offensive interior much better than they'd done last year. Particularly, you saw that on the goal line at one point. So, you know, there's a lot to be encouraged by on the defensive side. Now, again, next week, we're going to see even more of where they are and whether or not they can step forward and stop the run against a team that is going to be stubborn about running between the tackles. And they're going to throw all sorts of stuff. Adazio is an offensive line guy. And the one thing you can be sure of with Boston College is that they will throw all sorts of different looks at you in motions and blocking schemes and so on to create a gap here or there. And you've got to be really gap sound, and you've got to make sure that you anchor at the point of attack or you're going to get gashed. Just ask Southern Cal from last year. So this Boston College team, this Boston College game is going to be ultimately what sort of we can use as a litmus test for what the ceiling of this Florida State team is and who they're really going to be. But I think there's a lot to be very pleased about from this game against South Florida, which went very much as expected if you were slightly optimistic coming into the game. Realistic, and but with a little bit of optimism coming into the game. This is basically what you would have hoped for, is being able to run the football like this, going through some issues early on and working out the kinks, and then finding a way to put this game away. And they did put this game away. The defense gave up 11 first downs, 274 yards. You know, there were a couple places where they did get a player behind him here or there, and they've got to tighten a few things up. But there's room for improvement, but there's a lot of things. If you're on the defensive staff, you're looking at going, boy, I wish we'd have had that in place last year. And I think for Florida State fans moving forward, there's, like I said, and I've said repeatedly through this podcast, there's a lot to be encouraged by. And that's going to do it for us today. Now, before we get out of here, just a reminder that you can follow me on the Twitter machine at Doc Staples. You can, of course, follow Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio for the latest on FSU sports. And then make sure to stick with us over the course of this week. As I've said, this is going to be a big week. We're going to preview the Boston College game. We'll take a little bit of a look later in the week on. We'll take a closer look at some of the things that we talked about today. Once I've gotten a chance to take a closer look at some of the tape, so that we can assess a little bit better of what we think we saw in these instant reactions. In any case, we look forward to having you back again. I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio of eSporto Channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.